Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right. Rob Blagojevich has been commuted. His sentence commuted. There are cameras right now outside the federal penitentiary in Aurora, Colorado, where we're expecting to have a white, flocked-haired, moppy-haired former governor of Illinois step free out of those gates. And we'll bring that to you when it happens, if he says anything. Robert Grant was the special agent in charge of the Chicago office of the FBI during the investigation into Rob Blagojevich. And, well, let me just ask you initially, Mr. Grant, your reaction when you heard the news.
Oh, I sort of expected it. I mean, he's been signaling this for couple of months. I think it's terribly unfair to the prosecutors, the investigators, to say that the investigation was unduly harsh or the prosecution unduly harsh. I thought that was over the top and unnecessary.
Well, he's making the charge, as Robert Blagojevich, Rod's brother, did an hour ago on this program, making the charge that this is all part of a deep state conspiracy that wraps together Patrick Fitzgerald with James Comey and Robert Mueller. Your reaction?
Yeah, and the communists infiltrated every part of the State Department as well. So, yeah, you want to live in paranoia, go ahead. But I'd ask Robert Blagojevich one question. If he didn't think what he was doing was wrong, why did he ask the state police to do a mic sweep to make sure there were no microphones in Rod's campaign office? So it's a question I wanted the prosecutors to ask during trial, but they didn't. But it's the million-dollar question to Robert Blagojevich that hasn't been asked.
Yeah. So let's go back and talk about what it was. I think, you know, you're hearing a lot of people saying, well, the sentence was too much and it's about time that they let him go. And I think that that's a debatable point, and people will make the debate. I happen to believe, as I think you do, that if you're going to stop corruption in this state, or you're going to slow down corruption in the state, throw a drag chute on it, the only way to really do that is to make the punishment onerous, right? To say, hey, I can't afford to go spend 15 years in prison if I do this. You know, I've got to stop whatever this behavior is. But you go back and you think about all the things that he did, right? I mean, it wasn't just the Senate seat, although that's, I think, good enough. But it was a shakedown of the hospital, right? And it was, you know, withholding state funds from programs unless he got something. He got a fundraiser, he got something else out of it.
Yeah, it wasn't just a hospital he shook down. It was a children's hospital that he wasn't going to allow reimbursement until he got his money. And he also wanted to shake down the Tribune for writing articles about the corruption around his administration. So his corruption was extensive and pervasive, and I don't think the judge or the jury would have convicted him without listening to his own words on those tapes. So, I you know, 8 years is a long time, but this is a state that has been rife with corruption at the top for many, many decades. And we had just come out of the George Ryan prosecution and conviction. And I think Judge Zagel went to the higher end of the sentencing guidelines. Partly for that reason, that apparently 3 to 5 years in a federal penitentiary isn't enough to deter corrupt behavior at the highest levels of government. Maybe we need to increase it like we did with organized crime, because it effectively in New York and Chicago, one of the reasons we were able to neuter organized crime to the extent that we have is because we sentenced a lot of very senior people to very long prison sentences. And I think that caused people to rethink whether they want to migrate into that livelihood. So, you know, I think I can understand the humanitarian aspect of it. I think you and I would agree on that. But I also look at it from two standpoints. One, there's probably somebody in the same prison system as Rod Blagojevich who's also got a wife, who's also got children, but doesn't have the benefit of being a celebrity on TV, on Fox News, to plead their case. So do they get the same level of attention from this president or any president for that matter? And so the fairness of it, I think, is stripped away. The second thing is the vindictive sort of name-calling about the prosecutors. Jim Comey had nothing at all to do with this case at all. He was in the private sector. This is all done organically in Chicago, and the evidence spoke for itself.
Yeah, one of the things about this that people keep bringing up, and I'm going to take a quick break and we'll come right back, but the thing about this during the break, and we'll answer it on the other side, is, and I heard this a lot, well, if these long sentences meant anything, we wouldn't have the current crop of people who are either informed or about to be indicted in Illinois politics, Chicago and Illinois politics. If it really meant that people would stop, it's still going on, is the argument. So on the other side, I'd like to get your reaction to that. Robert Grant is the former special agent in charge of the Chicago office of the FBI, and during which his tenure, it was the Blagojevich investigation was just one of many of the things that was done out of that office. And we'll get his thoughts on that question. But first, Laura Lapka, traffic and weather.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN TV.
It's a RoCon show right here on 720 WGN. Robert Grant is with us. He's the former special agent in charge of the Chicago office of the FBI. And I was just asking before we took the break, Robert, about why, if in fact the long sentence that Rob Blagojevich was initially sentenced to before he was, that was commuted today by President Trump, why did that not send a message to some of these other guys who are now currently under indictment? Obviously, we have to presume them innocent for the moment, but let's just say there are some other people that are pleading out right now. What can you do if you can't, if that doesn't scare them, what will?
Well, we've had three governors since Blagojevich. I don't think any of them have been charged with any level of crime, so maybe it's only effective at the highest office. But I think it has to be a sustained effort by the sentencing authorities to hold political corrupt individuals accountable. So I can't speak to whether or not it was a deterrent to the people that are currently under investigation. I do know commuting a sentence doesn't signal any kind of responsibility from the standpoint of Rod Blagojevich. He's never once accepted responsibility for what he did to the state of Illinois. And to me, that seems to be a red face start of a test as to whether or not you're going to consider a pardon or a commutation is, first of all, do you accept it? What I think President Trump has done, although he's commuted sentence, he didn't pardon it, is sort of like not held him accountable and said, you know, it's one thing for him to walk out and say, I'll consider a commutation, but Rod Blagojevich has never accepted any responsibility for what he did. So I have a hard time with that. I think most anybody else who's ever disciplined somebody for something they did wrong would ask for that first before they consider anything else.
All right. Robert Grant is who we're talking to, former special agent in charge of the Chicago FBI office. We have a call with a question that I think I can answer, but I'm going to let you answer it instead, because you're the guy who actually knows these things for sure. Adam, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, how you doing? Just a quick question. So, short of Blagojevich committing another crime, once he gets this sentence commuted, could the prosecution go after him for something they maybe didn't get before with this sentence? Or when it's done, it's done. That's it.
Robert?
Well, Adam, to answer your question, he could be investigated and charged with other crimes that were not charged in this. I don't think that would be any interest in doing that at this point. Everything that could be proved beyond a reasonable doubt was thrown into that trial. But like any other investigation of public officials, it's usually an iceberg of which what you see in the courtroom is a tip of what we already know. So I doubt that there would be any interest in pursuing him. He's no longer in public office. He no longer has any influence in the state of Illinois. He can't run for any political office because he was impeached. So my guess would be that while they could, there would be very little interest in pursuing him.
Do you have any sense, though, now, as you watch this entire environment change, do you get any sense from talking to guys who are still working these kinds of cases, or your sense of what has happened here, that there is any... there has been any kind of effect, softening effect, slowing up effect of the behavior of politicians in the state of Illinois? Was a message at all, do you think, sent at the lower levels? Like you said, at the higher levels, apparently we haven't sent anybody else to jail. But let's talk about those lower levels, because now you got these guys who are being indicted, and now the rumors of further indictments. It doesn't seem to be a way to get through to them. Is there, if you could wave a magic wand, what would you do?
Yeah, it's probably, I'll probably get tarred and feathered in Illinois for this, but the fact that there is no effective second party in Illinois, every state I've ever been in, every city that's been a one party city or one party state breeds systemic corruption across the board. And It's not endemic to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, but the fact that there's nobody watching on the Republican side, they seem to be totally ineffective. I think that's what's hurting the state is we don't have a robust two-party competitive system where they can keep an eye out. Now, whether or not people are deterred by this, I mean, people are greedy and people are tempted and people want to influence politicians. I don't know if they look at Rod Blagojevich and say, well, that's up in the executive suite of the executive mansion. That's not down here where I'm overseeing road contracts and things like that. So I think there's an interest on both parties. When you have bribes being paid, sometimes it's portrayed as shaking down. So when you have a politician shaking down a business person, but don't forget the business person is willingly making that bribe payment. So on the one hand, they're looked at as a victim, but on the other hand, they're participating in the scheme. So there's really two guilty parties there.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, too, because that does appear to be the case at the moment. But for 40 years, the majority of governors in the state were Republicans, you know, and that's interesting but as you point out, Robert Grant, former head of the FBI office here in Chicago, there is no this knows no party stripe, right? These are individuals who are doing this, and it's not because of Republicans or the Democrats, because they were crooked. The guys that, you know, whether it's George Ryan or Rod Blagojevich. And because crookedness seems to be just a part of the culture here in the state of Illinois. And I think that's the most frustrating thing for a lot of people, including myself, when I'm watching this, because it seems like the president is interested in mitigating corruption, like in mitigating the stain of corruption. That, yeah, everybody does it. This is just how business is done here, right? I mean, you know, you're going to see more cases like this. I mean, the pardons that he did today, and again, these are people that are not in jail anymore, but he's doing it to just sort of say, hey, pat you on the head for having, at one point, done the wrong thing. I don't understand that instinct that the president has here. Do you?
I don't. I think he's an emotional person. I think he's swayed by emotional arguments. Don't forget that when he ran in 2016, I mean, he was part of the deep state. He was the one that bragged about having bribed politicians his entire career. So he knew what it was like. And his defense against that was he was one of the richest people on the planet. Therefore, he couldn't be bribed. So he's been on both sides of these transactions. He understands probably the culture. I don't buy into the deep state argument that he makes, but it's a political wedge that he uses. And I think there are people out there that influence politicians through any number of ways. And mm-hmm. It can be from a campaign contribution. It can be to favoritism towards their children. And unfortunately, that's too endemic right now in our culture, and particularly in Illinois.
Yeah. Robert Grant, thank you for your time. Thank you for your service to the nation, too. Many years in the FBI and running the Chicago office here. And it was a very fruitful time for the FBI. There was a lot under your watch. There were not only a lot of public corruption cases, but your counterterrorism operations here were enormous and probably saved thousands of lives here in Chicago throughout your career. And those are stories, some of which are now being told that they weren't told at the time, obviously. But thank you for everything that you've done.
Well, thanks, Ro. I would be remiss if I didn't reflect at least the agents' view, the case agents on this, Dan Kane and Pat Murphy. The only thing that really rubs them the wrong way is the perception that this was an unfair investigation. It was clearly not. So, yeah. Thanks, Ro.
Thank you very much. Robert Grant, former special agent in charge of the Chicago office of the FBI. One of the most important offices, obviously, for public corruption and for organized crime and counterterrorism in the nation. And it has been in some pretty great hands over the years. And his were certainly chief among them. All right, we'll come back. On the other side of the news, we're going to talk to Dr. Jim Adams for just a few minutes about the coronavirus. Scary news out of China in terms of how it is spreading and how medical workers are now dying from it. Two more just were announced today. And what does that mean really for how we're going to be dealing with this here when it starts to, if it starts to develop here, and what can we do to try to keep it from developing here and all that? We're going to talk about that and then get right back to the Blagojevich thing on the other side of that as well. So all that comes your way. But first, news from a Northwestern Medicine newsroom in 2 minutes. This-